Blog Talk Radio.
Now I want everybody to clap your hands in this place.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, we want to bring to you Memphis' own. The world's been waiting on it, and now the wait is finally over. Chantel.
Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Once again, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus will fix it. Jesus will fix it. He will fix it. He will fix it. Because he just fixed it. Amen. Glory to God. This is your Fix It Six, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Amen. Glory to God. I just love that song. Deep down inside, you may feel bad and you may be not feeling so well, but you just hold on. Because Jesus, he will fix it. I'm telling you, he'll fix it. I just came home and went before I got to the studio. It was a storm outside. It was pouring, raining, and people were ducking the rain and umbrellas, trash everywhere. And now, looking out the studio windows, the sun is shining, the birds is flying, the kids is playing again. It shows just how fast God can change things. It was just a storm outside, and now the sun is shining. That's how God does in our life. Amen. God is good. God is good. The Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you today and night for your servants, for your people of Israel, for your people throughout the world, for my friends, neighbors, families, grandkids, enemies all over the world. Father God, hear my prayer. Amen. To God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to just, we're going to read scripture. We have Bible this evening. Amen. Glory to God. I want to talk about my brother Nehemiah today. I'm going to be reading from chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to be reading chapter 5, 1 through 13. Amen. But first, once again, Father God, thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for your presence in the studio. Thank you for your presence in our hearts and minds. Thank you for covering us and keeping us through the day, God. Thank you for being our eyes, God. Thank you for hearing the secrets that the enemy think are secrets and revealing it to us, God, on this day, God. Thank you for allowing us to hear the tittle-tattle of the enemy trying to creep up on us, God. Thank you, God, for covering us with your precious, precious blood. We thank you for your storm. We thank you for your sunshine. We thank you for all that you do. We praise you, lift you up, glorify you, worship you, because you are our Yahweh all by yourself. We love you. We praise your glorious name, God. In Jesus' name, your saints have prayed. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to read, like I said, I'm not going to be with you long. It's a beautiful day, and I know you might be picnicking, you might be barbecuing, you might be sitting on the porch drinking a little lemonade, just reminiscing, whatever you may be doing. I hope you're doing it with the love of the Lord in your heart. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to be reading chapter 1 out of the King James Version. Amen. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, passed in the month Chislia in the 20th year as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanai, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judea, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy and thy servants, and confess the sins of his children, of the children of Israel. Amen. Nehemiah was a caring and trusting individual. Nehemiah had a comfortable lifestyle. He had a good job, a nice place to live. But when he heard his people were in trouble and disgrace and that the walls of Jerusalem were not being rebuilt, he could have did like most Christians we know today. You know, they say, I'll pray for you from their home, or they'll pray for you from wherever they may be, their comfort zone, and they call. You know, when you tell somebody something, you express that you're going through something or you express bad news, it amazed me how the one thing that always come out of our mouth is, I'll pray for you. Prayer is wonderful, but sometimes there's a need, which means I need your presence, I need your help, I need you here with me. I need you to be a part of the situation if you want to help me. Because one thing I've learned, and it's not to bad rap anybody, say anything negative about anyone, but a lot of times you don't even pray for yourself. A lot of times you don't pray for your own situations. A lot of times it's just something we say. I'll pray for you. You know, oh, my God, I'm having a bad. I'll pray for you. But it takes more than that. A lot of times it takes more than that. As Christians, we have to stop using that slogan, I'll pray for you, and come out of our comfort zone and really help out. Amen. And because Nehemiah could have been like that. He could have said, I'll pray for you right here from his palace. Amen. But if you read verse 4, it reveals two things that Nehemiah, what the two things that there are key things to Nehemiah's leadership, not only his leadership, but the success of his leadership. Because first, he cared about his people. We got to get back to caring about people. We got to get back to caring about our family, our friends, our loved ones, the enemy. We got to care about the people because all people are God's people. I don't care what they smell like. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what their illnesses are. I don't care what their defects are. I don't care what they're lacking. I don't care what they have. We all need Jesus. And if God has brought us out of our mess and brought us out of our dark place, we are on assignment. God has chosen us. He has pulled us out of our murky waters. He has pulled us out of our alcoholism. He has pulled, if you was a smoker, if you was a gambler, whatever you may have been, that you know God removed you from that place. But when he removed you, you remember there were still people left there. There were still people there. Yeah, we can pray for them, and we can pray for them, and we can pray for them. But sometimes we have to go back and not boast, but tell them the goodness of God, why and how God changed our lives. Our lives did not change on our own. Because I just believe, I'm going to speak for me, I believe if I wasn't scared of God or I didn't know the difference between heaven and hell, I'd still be in party paradise right now. You couldn't tell me nothing. You know what I mean? My life would have been all chaotic like it was. But God seemed fit to pull me out of that and remind me, when you see other people going through what we went through or whatever it may have been, when we see that, there should be a compassion in our heart for the people. There should be a compassion that makes us want to go, that gravitate to that soul, that gravitate to the lostness of that individual, to gravitate whatever power God has possessed you with, whatever means that God is using, however God is using you, we have to walk in that. It amazed me how we can see stuff. And you ever see people, and oh, my God, look at them. Oh, Lord, just bless them. But sometimes the blessing might be us going over to the individual and saying, how are you doing? We know how they're doing. But sometimes just the way God speaks through us, we may be saying it one way, but they might hear the God in us. They might hear the peace. They might hear the concern. They might hear the genuine love in us. And that's what sometimes people need, because they will open a door in the conversation for us to tell them about the Lord. Have you ever trusted God? Have you ever known God? And you know what amazes me? When you talk to people, most of them say, yeah, I used to be saved. I used to go to church. I went to church with my mom. I went to church with my grandma. My uncle took me to church, whoever. So they're not blinded, but for whatever reason, they just haven't got back on that track. And that's why God uses us as his spiritual engineers to go and build a way back to him for his people. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. And the second thing, he trusted in God. And we got to trust in God in us. We got to trust the God in us, that God is using us to do the right thing. We don't feel those things when we feel those compassions for other people, especially strange people, people you don't even know, that sometimes you just want to weep, and sometimes your inside, your soul is just crying out for them, like, oh, my God, Jesus, help them. What can I do? What can I do? And the more you say, what can I do? What can I do? God is saying, tell them about me. Tell them about me. Tell them about my goodness. Tell them how powerful I am. Tell them that I can help them. Let them know that I helped you. Tell them about what you went through. Tell them how you used to be. Tell them how you was a prostitute. Tell them how you was a drug addict. Tell them how you was a thief. Tell them how you just got out of prison. Tell them even the things that you don't want to tell. Tell them about the incest. Tell them about the rape. They need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth, because they're in some things that they think no one understands. But God knows all. And that's why he delivered us from those things himself, so we can go back. Amen. Nehemiah trusted in his God. And Nehemiah probably not have done the heroic job that the Bible describes if he hadn't cared so deeply and trusted so fully. This is a lifestyle. It's not a membership. It's not a yearly membership. It's not a weekly membership. It's not a monthly payment. This is a lifestyle. God has given us commandments. He has given us orders. He has given us instructions. He has given us wisdom. He has given us power. He has given us mercy and grace time after time after time after time, because he wants us to be in position to do the work. It's still about the work. Amen. He trusted God fully, because God has commissioned each of us to be involved with hurting the members of our church who we see every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Bible study, every convention, every revival. We see each other. We just can't wait to see each other. And we ride past the person on the corner. We ride past our neighbor. Don't even invite the neighbor to the event. Don't even get to tell the neighbor, listen, I'm going that way. I'll drive you. I'll buy you a ticket if it's about a ticket. Because we are supposed to do whatever it takes to get them to Christ. Yes, prayer works and prayer helps. Amen. That's the initiation. Now we got to do some footwork. We got to knock on the door a couple of times. We got to, even when they get mad, and listen, I don't care about that. Don't knock on my door. Amen. Glory to God. Because remember, the more we start showing compassion, the more we show love, they know that we are sincere. We can't knock on the door one time and don't knock no more. Amen. And when we do things with compassion, and we do things in love, now the prayer fits in. Father God, show me how to reach this family. Show me how to reach my neighbor. Show me how to reach my coworker. Show me how to reach the person that I don't even like talking to. But show me how. Those are the prayers. God already know what we're going to pray for. He already going to show us how to pray. But we got to trust in him fully. Because there's a work that needs to be done. There are souls that are waiting and waiting. Look at the world today. There's so many. Just look at all the nurses and doctors who've just been on the front line giving of themselves. They need to be refurnished. They need a revival. They need a spiritual injection. They need a spiritual transfusion. They're hurting and crying and watching people die and suffer on a daily basis. You think that don't bother their soul? That don't bother their spirit? Those are the prayers of the righteous that will prevail, because a lot of times now we might can't get to those people because we don't know them, but there go the prayer light. There go the intercession prayer, praying their strength. praying their courage. Lord, just revive them, revive them. Let them hold on to them, God. Just give them another push. Give them another day. You know what I mean? We got to pray their strength because they're on the front line watching people die on a daily basis. They're watching people get sick on a daily basis. And some of them even had to watch their family members suffer. They had to watch their family members go through the ordeal of suffering and not breathing on their own. And they're watching what the disease did to everybody else. And it's a part of them that might think, oh, my God, please don't let my sister pass away. Please don't let my brother pass away. That's when we come in and remind them that God is good. God can get you through anything. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know the miracle worker? Do you know the King that gave his life up for us? Do you know the King who shed his blood so we can live? We don't always have to beat him down. There you go. The compassion. How you doing today, sir? How you doing today, ma'am? I know you have a job that is really eating at you some days. I'm just here to give you a hug. I'm just here to give you some encouraging words. Do you mind if I pray for you? Here's my phone number. If you just need to holler to my screen, if you just need somebody that you know that's in your corner, call me. That's ministry. It ain't about hooking up and the down low and the up tide and all that. That's ministry. Hallelujah. God has commissioned each of us to be involved with hurting people. And if we think back to our response the last time that we heard of people in need, how did we respond? And if you think back on that last time and then read Nehemiah 1-4 and just think, if you really care, and if you trust God to use you, do you really trust God to use you? Because in this day and time, everybody that God has called, that God has chosen, we have an assignment. And it's to get God's people out of the grips, out of the harm, out of harm's way of the enemy. Amen. This is not a game. This is not a who's the most powerful and who's the most anointed, who has the most PhD, DDD, KBGs by their name. It has nothing to do with that. Amen. It's about God's people. We're all God's people. He created all of us in his likeness. In his image, all of us, to leave no man or no woman or no child behind. Amen? Just something for us to think about. Please, remember the neighbor. Remember your coworker. And remember what Jesus did for you. The next time you see somebody hurting or going through something, we're going to go play a song, and we're going to come back and continue this.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nails in your hands, nails in your feet, piercing your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true. You gave your life and still I hurt you.
forgive me for my sins.
You paid it all up on the cross. You bled and died, 'cause I was lost. So here I am, surrendering all. Lord, hear my cry. On my knees I fall. You paid it all. Oh, oh, you paid it all. Oh. No money I can pay in exchange for the blood you shed for my sins. So I surrender my heart, my life, my all as a living sacrifice, Lord. I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight so I can have everlasting life.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to MCI Ministry Radio. This is our announcements. On Sunday morning at 9 a.m., you will be on the air with no other than the one and only, amen, Apostle Carolyn McNeil. On Monday night at 6 p.m., you're fixed at 6 with Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. On Tuesday night, Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries, at 6 p.m. On Wednesday night, Weekly Word Workout with Lady T, Undisputed Truth Ministry, at 6 p.m. Also, don't forget about Friday night. Friday is Fresh Fire Friday, the blowing of the shofar. You get praise and you get worship songs. And Pastor Matthew McNeil also brings a refreshing word, fresh Friday fruit. You don't want to miss none of these days. We thank God for you, you and you. And if you like to be a blessing to the ministry, you may do so or sponsor. You can reach us. Our ministry phone number is 302-883-9799. Also, if you'd like to contact us, you can also reach us at mci2621@yahoo.com. For all prayer requests, you can dial 302-883-9799, text or call, or use our email address. We thank God for you, you and you. May you have a blessed and wonderful day. God bless you all. Jesus loves you, and so do we.
Of bringing out Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I apologize, I hit the button. I was laughing every time I hear the announcements on First Lady say Friday night, Pastor McNeil. Hey, last couple Friday nights, you know, we give honor to your First Lady because she's been holding down the fort. And what I was thinking about was the fresh fire fruit, like it has been so intense and so, it's almost like Sunday service to me. Like I when I can catch it and I listen how it's brung forth and how it is prepared. And it reminds me when a good word comes forth, it comes forth. It doesn't matter if it's in a format of Bible study or fresh fire or, when the word comes forth, if it's fruitful, it's fruitful, and you're gonna eat it up. You're gonna say the seeds. You're not even gonna spit the seeds out because the seeds, listen here, the seeds is where all the nourishing at. That's where the growth at. Without the seed, it can't grow. Don't throw them seeds out. Don't think, oh, that didn't mean that. Oh, you hold on to that seed, amen. Because that seed is where everything grows from. And once again, I'd just like to thank First Lady for holding down the fort for me on Friday. I'm thinking about just signing Fridays over tour and try to slip a Thursday and a Saturday on. Just give a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think she got it in her. Everybody, we're just going to support her. We're going to pray about it. We're going to pray about it. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. We've been in the book of Nehemiah, and the book of Nehemiah connects God's story of redemption and restoration with the longing of humanity for a savior. And as the people of Judea return home from exile, their lives, culture, and faith have been destroyed, much like the gates and walls of Jerusalem we had already discussed, still lying in ruins after years of war and neglect. But God called Nehemiah to lead the project of rebuilding both the walls and the shattered lives turning exiles. God called him to rebuild. Listen, to rebuild both the walls and the people. They shattered lives. And I just believe there's many of us called to help rebuild shattered lives, to rebuild the walls of communication between the lost and God, to rebuild that communication, to rebuild that bond, that everlasting bond, and do the work. See, Nehemiah, together with Ezra, they led the people into a rekindling type situation where they had to rekindle their faith, their faith, their traditions, and devotion to God. And back then, I think they called him Yahweh, which means God. The Jewish language, it means God. It's another word for God in the Jewish language. Amen. But they rekindled their faith. They assisted them in rekindling their faith and their tradition and their devotion. Sometimes we just have to keep pushing, keep knocking on the door, keep sending the email, keep saying how you doing in the morning. It's the one that we think ain't getting it. The one that's having, because we always run to the one that's having the issues. But sometimes it's the one right next to you. Sometimes it's the one you see at the bus stop every day. Sometimes it's the one you see at the shopping store when you're shopping for groceries, wherever you may go at. It's the one, you know, our spirits can discern when somebody's going through, when somebody's really going through something. So you know your spirit can discern that there's a need. And God, if we trust in God and believe in God and we connected to God, he'll give us what to say if we make the steps to move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. See, this restoration, however, would not come easy because they experienced conflict and opposition from within and without. Through these challenges, Nehemiah learned to draw upon the faithfulness of God. See, he went and got he drew from that, the faithfulness of God to fulfill his promises. What promises have God given us? What promises have God given you? Have God promised you, I will use you to bring forth my laws. I will use you to restore their mind. I will use you to raise the dead. I will use you to bring my people out of their dark places. What promises has God made to you? See, Nehemiah is a beautiful representation of God at work through his people, not in spite of their weaknesses and their inabilities, but because of who they are, God's people. Suffering and disability and disabled people. And I'm not mean a physical disabled, but disabled to just, amen. God hears and responds to the prayers of the destitute. We're going to talk about that. And if God is for us, who can ever be against us? We're going to talk about that. There are no elites in the kingdom of God. Oh, we definitely got to talk about that. Glory to God. We're going to go through this. I hate rushing. I'm going to do my best. Amen. We just read chapters 1 through 4. Go with me to chapter 13, 31 in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. Amen. Amen. This is chapter 13, verse 31. I also made sure that the supply of wood for the altar and the first portions of the harvest were brought at the proper time. I asked you to read that for a reason, because God hears the response of the prayers of the destitute. Nehemiah begins and ends his prayer with saying his immediate response to the news of Jerusalem's devastation was to seek God in prayer. When bad news strikes home, prayer is our first line of defense. You see that? The prayer is the first line. It is the first line. But he went on to do the work. It is the first line. Prayer is the first line. If I go to verse 30, it says, so I purged out everything foreign and assigned tasks to the priests and Levites, making certain that each knew his work. I also made sure that the supply of wood for the altar and the first portion of the harvest were brought to the proper time. In other words, I made sure all needs were met. We had no excuses in the time of building. Amen. If God called us to build a ministry, he's going to make sure the resources are there, the paint, the people to do the painting, the carpenters, the carpentry, the carpet. He's going to make sure people are there who know how to lay down carpet. He's going to make sure. But it's our job not to take the familiar person because me and you okay, I just want you to paint, or me and you going to hang out. We got to do it the way God say do it. Amen? And Nehemiah did it because he trusted God and he knew God has given him that responsibility. Amen? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Because spiritual warfare is part of any effort to live a victorious life and build the kingdom of God. Nehemiah faced incredible opposition, including criticism, conspiracy, and threats of physical attack. There is a real enemy working to destroy us, but we have the assurance of victory in Christ. And if you don't believe me, go to the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33 with me. I'm going there. Please go with me. Chapter 16, verse 33 in the book of John. Now, I apologize. I'm reading out of the NLT version. Amen. The new. I am so sorry that I didn't tell you that. I'm reading out of the New Living Testament. Amen. Please forgive me. Chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you all this so that ye may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And if Christ has overcome the world and Christ is in us, we overcome the world. We overcome every disposition, every trick that the enemy try to use, even people who think they're getting over on you. Don't worry about it. Even people who, like, you know, listen, this is what I think about when I think about scriptures like this. Young ladies who go to the auto part place and they go and they know they only go on to see what's going on with the car and it's just a carburetor, but the mechanics say, oh, you need a new tube belt, you need a carburetor, your transmission about to blow up, your oil tank and this and this. They say all these things getting over because they think you don't know. But what they don't know is God knows. And God is not going to let them get over because there's going to be a mechanic in there when he walks away and say, ma'am, that's not wrong with your car. Matt McCann, listen, that man does that every day. God will reveal the truth to us. I love that scripture. I love it. And oh, my God. I have told you all this so that ye may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrow, but take heart because I have overcome the world. They ain't slick. They ain't getting over. The world won't harm you. The world can't destroy us. The things of the world can't destroy us. God, Jesus has overcome all that so we can keep doing what he has called us to do. We just keep making excuses. Oh, God. What time is it? There are no elites in the kingdom of God. Sadly, the Jewish nobles and officials have been taking advantage of the vulnerable among them for financial gain. And I got scripture to back it up. Because, see, Nehemiah brought an end to the oppression and implemented justice for all. What was the motivation for justice? The fear of the Lord. We're going to get scripture to back that up. God's people are called to form a caring community in which all are valued equally. There's no six Mercedes, one rabbit. There's no big 18-room mansion living in a room. Everybody shared. If you didn't have, we brung you this. We helped build this. We all had ego. If I got 50 cows now, I'm going to take 25. You only got 23. Now you got 25. I'm going to give you 22 of mine. You got 15 sheep. I only got 10. Hey, let me get three of yours. Now we both got 13. You see what I'm saying? If we live biblically throughout the world and know somebody's lacking somewhere and just knock on the door and leave it, that is a miracle to them, but it's our assignment to us. Can you imagine if you're lacking food and you don't know how you're going to eat and your kids are in the house hungry and you just can't knock on the door and you go to the door, don't see nobody, but there's a big, I'm not talking about no food that you don't want. I'm talking about fresh fish, fresh eggs, and fresh, all the things that a person may need. And they never know who did it. But you can believe when they shut that door, when they break down in tears, they say this, Lord, thank you. Oh, God, thank you for feeding my family. They don't know why they keep saying God, but God is in them. And that is the thing that draws them closer to God. It's not me knocking on the door, hey, you need some food? I'm going to take you to the store. That's not it. It's the supernatural miracle that they see. God just used me to be the instrument to bring the miracle forth in their life. That's why they go in their room when nobody's around. Oh, Lord, thank you. Can you imagine a husband who doesn't know how he's going to pay his bill, and he walk outside and there's an envelope in his car under the visor, the windshield wiper, and he's looking around the street and don't understand how he got it? Can you imagine the joy that will come upon his heart that he can pay rent, that his family won't be put outside? And though he may never know who done it, he will rejoice in Christ, because it's just the way it is. When you're happy, you praise God. And I'm not talking about just saved people. Look at the people. Oh, God, thank you for the new job. Oh, God, I didn't know how I was going to make it. It's just the way we are. We are all connected to Christ. We just got to put some fire under them to remind them that it's still about Jesus. He is still the way, the truth, and the life. He is still the author and finisher. He is still the way maker. He is still the one and only, the Most High God. Nothing. He can never fail. We just got to throw some more logs into the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Jewish nobles and officials had been taking advantage of the vulnerable among the financial gang. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 5. And I know, Lord, I ain't going to, oh, Jesus. Because I want to read 1 through 13. I'm going to try to just read it and keep my mouth shut. Amen. Oh, God. I'm going to just, but, oh, God. Let just. Have you noticed how slogans can draw people together for a cause? I think it's Nike. Nike gets people to just do it. The Marines are looking for a few good men. Even musketeers are all for one and one for all. But although Nehemiah is the central figure in the book that bears his name, the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem was not his alone. It would take the collective effort of all the returned exiles working together. Oh, my God, that's your church. All the people that you helped and ministered to and showed them the way and showed them and told them how God changed your life and how God delivered you from whatever it was. And if you're not doing nothing, come by on Sunday morning. That's your church. The people that you think that's not willing to do, listen, people in the wilderness are looking for a change. They want change. I can tell you, because I was in the wilderness. I cried out so many times for help. I begged. But see, I didn't go to individuals. I just knew somewhere there was a higher power than people. And I remember crying day after day and after day and after day. And I said, Lord, if you just help me, he sent the help. How many of us God is waking up in the middle of the night and giving instructions to, and we ain't doing it? How many times you're driving down the highway and you see something, God is giving you instructions? That's not you hearing things. That's the word of, listen, that is God skin to your spirit for a reason. But because it messes up your comfortability. Bet because you don't feel like getting out of your last. Just because you don't feel like getting out your car. Just because you don't feel like going to talk to nobody right now. Just because you had a bad day on the job. Just because your kids driving you crazy. We don't want to do what God say do. It doesn't work that way. When God say jump, we say how high. That's when I jump. I hear people say in the world, when I say jump, you say how high. No. When Jesus say jump, we say how high. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And he didn't do it by himself. They was all working together, restoring broken walls, clearing up the rubble, the trash, realigning foundations and bringing in new building materials, new people, new blood, new ministry, new singers, new drummers, new ushers, new deacons. Come on. The bringing in new building materials is never easy and cannot be done alone. It can only be done in community. Nehemiah records three things. He records the many groups of people who joined the work in Jerusalem. Now listen, the many groups, male, female, children, black, white, Chinese, Hispanic, whatever, we can all come together and do God's work. We can all join together and build the new Jerusalem. Each has something different to contribute. Amen. Each group, they contribute significantly to restoring sections of the wall. It required what? Faith, a willingness and desire to overcome anything, and the status quo, and a firm conviction that the life of a city could rise out of the ashes of ruins. Listen, all the COVID, all the fires, all the tornadoes, a lifestyle can rise out of that ruin. If we get together with the people and we pray for them and we ask God to move in their life, we ask to send someone that's close to them and tell them about the goodness of the Lord, send resources, not only resources, but people who are willing to do the work, the building, the rebuilding, the natural as well as the spiritual. Amen. It also requires a willingness to take a stand for righteousness in the face of opposition. Because when threatened by attack, the people chose to work side by side with tools in one hand and a weapon in the other. I know, what is he talking about? Yeah, chapter 4, verse 17. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Who were building the wall, the laborers carried on their work with one hand, supporting their load in one hand and holding a weapon. That's what the Bible says. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17. And similarly, the restoration of broken lives, relationships, and dreams take the body of Christ working as one. When people are devastated by suffering, disability, and disappointment, they need others who have faith and vision to come alongside of them and help restore the walls of their lives. And that's what we are here for. That is part of our lifestyle. That is part of why God called us and delivered us. Because we see, we know the need. Have you ever been abandoned? And then you see somebody that you know is going through abandonment, and you can't feel that, and you can't find it in your heart to embrace them and tell them, don't worry about it, it's going to be okay, because the God I serve delivered me from abandonment also. I was left alone. Nobody seemed like nobody loved me. My family walked out on me. My wife walked out on me. My husband walked out on me. The kids, this, whatever your story may be. Use it for the goodness of the rebuilding of the ministry. And when I say ministry, I'm talking about the people, not the physical building. The ministry is in the people. We got to get back to the people. Because when people are devastated for suffering and just they need others. They need us. Come alongside of them and help restore the walls of their lives. And when faithful servants are overwhelmed by despair and hopelessness, they need a community that will hold them with one hand and fight in prayer for them with the other hand. You see, they need people who know that we are better together. I don't know where all this stuff is coming from. This church on the east side, you can't come over here ministering to nobody. You can't come in my church. I don't want my people going down into your convention. They ain't your people. We are God's people set on assignment to do a work to make sure that all souls are saved. We don't want no one going to hell. We are in a fight against the darkness of this world, the evilness, anything that's not Christ-like, we stand against. We should not be allowing our souls to be drained with alcohol and abuse and deception and just falling for the banana in the tailpipe. The devil is a liar. The truth ain't any. He ain't got a truth to tell you. He got a lot of deception to give us. But God, he has set us up to be soldiers in his army. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because in Nehemiah 4, 10 through 14, it talks about everyone faces seasons of discouragement and when voices of defeat betray our intentions, those voices can be our own of those or others. It could be your auntie telling you ain't going to be nothing. It could be your mama saying you're going to be the S word, and it could be your daddy calling you dumb so-and-so. We got to understand the enemy will use whoever and whatever to try to break us. Because when we are broken, the broken are helpless. Because when we get so broken that we don't have time to pray for nobody else, or we don't have the willpower to pray for ourselves, those that are really lost don't have a chance against the enemy. To stand up. How that song, stand up, fight for your right. I fight for the right to serve Jesus. He brought me out of my mess. He brought me out of my filth. He brought me out of my dark place. I belong to him. I will fight till there's no more fight in me. And if you decide to come against God, then that's the decision you made. But I pray that we all can line up and praise him together, sing hymns to his name together, worship him together, and be enlightened and joyful in our hearts together, just pure joy and happiness, praising God, a beauty that falls upon us for praising God, a community that's coming together in prayer and worshiping God, thanking God for what he's done for us, thanking God for using us, thanking God for being there for us. Thanking God for trusting in us. Hallelujah. We got to understand the spiritual warfare, because Nehemiah even experienced that. I'm going to let you go after this. I'm probably over my time. But Nehemiah and his people were in a war, a spiritual conflict of epic proportions. It is no different today. Our true enemy is not physical, but spiritual. Even when attacks come through human beings, the devil is ultimately behind it. But as he did for Nehemiah and the rebuilders, God has given us the weapons we need to fight the enemy of our souls. And we all know it's in the book of Ephesians. Because with that, with the weapon, the final victory is assured. And if you don't know, go to the book. How much time do I got? Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. I know you know it already. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, oh, that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, let me feel. Come on, Jesus. I'm on borrowed time. Lord, let your time be good time, Jesus. Let me borrow some more of your time just to get this word out to your people, Jesus. Just let me borrow a little more of your time. Just let me borrow a little more, Jesus, to get this out to your people. Yes, God. Just let me. Give me favor, Jesus. Don't let the line cut off. Hallelujah, God. Oh, we know that you're in charge of all the airwaves, the atmosphere, the wind, the waters, and everything else in it. So, Father, chapter 6, verse 10 through 20. Whew. The whole armor of God. I knew you already knew it. I knew you knew it. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. But the armor of God, although we face a real enemy who is out to destroy our souls, the good news is that God has given us everything we need to be victorious in the fight. Our armor consists of truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, prayer, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't get caught in enemy territory unprepared. Put on the armor of God each and every day. And I'll leave you with that word. This has been your 56, and I've been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Every day, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, go put on your armor daily. We're in a war. We're in a battlefield, and it's not physical. It is spiritual. Let's get up. Let's shake it off. Put it on that we're soldiers. Put it on. Be prepared so when you walk, you feel heavy. Whoa. Whoa. You feel heavy, but you're heavy in the spirit. You're so heavy the enemy don't even want to come near you. And anybody that you get close to, they are protected. Let's fight. Let's stop playing around. Look what's going on in the world. It's battlefield time for real. I pray each and every day, let the Lord hold on to me. Show me the way. Who do I talk to? Who do I shut up from? Who do I connect myself to? Who do I back away from? And then I listen. I wait for instruction. Oh, this has been beautiful. I love the fruit of this one. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for it. I want to return to this. If I get a chance next week, I want to return to Ephesians chapter 5 because I want to go through some things in chapter 5. Amen. Just if I'm allowed to, and if God makes me, if he directs me back through here on next week, and if he give me next week to live, whatever, I'm grateful to be on assignment. I'm grateful for the assignment, and I'm grateful that, listen, take that Ephesians 6, 10 to 20 seriously. If you have to read it daily, get into it and find out what every part of your armor does. What does it mean? What does it protect you from? What is your weapons? Come on, y'all. We ain't no wishy-washy Christians. It is 2021. Come on. Stay off Facebook and stay out of that technology crap and get into your word. Get into the Bible. Get into worship. Call someone to have Bible study online. You want to do something? FaceTime that. Zoom, whatever them things is. Do that. Start a Bible study Zoomer or whatever they call this thing. But let's get together and empower each other, impact each other with the word. Let's support one another. Let's lift one another up. Care what you did to me. I don't care what you don't have. I don't care how many cars you don't have. I don't care about none of that. I don't care. All I know is you God's child. And I'm God's child. And he put us here together for a reason. He didn't destroy you. He didn't destroy me. Amen. So I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to pray a song, and if it's God's will, I'll see you on the next side of the fix. Amen. Father God, we thank you. And we pray that your word come forth in our lives. We pray that we do our part to please you. We do our part to bring the souls to you. We do our part to hear from you and be obedient to what you say and not what we want to do. Come, Father, and shake us up, God. Shake us like spiritual rag dolls, God. Anything that's in us, that's hindering us, Father, take it away, God. Anything that we're not being obedient in and is hindering us from being closer to you, take it away, God. Father, we ask you to bless those that are lost, bless those that are crying out, bless those who need you, desire you, want you. We ask you to continue to bless our brothers and sisters over in Africa, Australia, Israel, Italy, China, Japan, Tokyo, where they may be. We send the prayers to the nation in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. And here we stand. And divided we shall not fall, but we shall come together in Jesus' name and do the work. So with that being said, Father, bless our enemies and bless our families and friends. We ask you to bless the ministry in Florida, Father. We ask you to bless that ministry, God. We just ask you to bless that fellowship, Father. Bless our families this day. Bless our cousins and nieces and nephews and uncles and aunts and everybody. It is time that we come together and look out for our brothers and sisters and serve God. Amen. That we have to remember the presence of the Lord is here. Amen.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here.
Jesus, I'm gonna get it. Woo! Oh, somebody get ready to walk into a miracle.
The Spirit of the Lord is here. God bless and good night.